My name is Sally Pearce. My substantive role is head of area for early years in teacher education. But I currently am the early years lead in a project called South Yorkshire Futures here at Sheffield Hallam University.
Right. And I've got some questions for you. How would you define relational pedagogy?
It's a method of teaching through relationship. It's developing explicit skills to develop positive relationships, sort of bringing what's implicit often in our interactions into our consciousness so that we can foster those positive relationships and set the right emotional tone for learning.
Right. And how is this relevant to HE?
Well, I came to it through training that was available for practitioners in the early years and the higher up phases of education. And what struck me immediately is that the skills that they were encouraging people to develop when working with children were absolutely as relevant to those teaching in HE. And it builds on a body of work initially around trauma and adverse childhood experiences and the need to create a trusting environment, a safe environment in order for learning to take place. But again, that's relevant to all learners, that we need to feel that, that this is a safe space for to be in, that these people are safe people to be around, that I feel I'm positively regarded, I'm included, I'm seen, I'm known. All those things are prerequisite, really, for us to be able to access our higher order thinking and executive skills which support learning. So as a team, we started to say, okay, we need to teach this to our early years, teachers of the future, so that they can foster these relationships with the children. So how are we going to model this and make this explicit in how we work with our trainee teachers?
Right. So what are the critiques or misconceptions of this area?
I think there's a tendency to play down these, what might be seen as softer skills, in favour of more technical skills of teaching, without seeing that they're inextricably linked, that without us developing those relationships first, we're not going to have the optimum teaching environment. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it, you know, sort of gets squeezed out or seen as woolly or seen as, you know, sort of a nice add-on, that we, of course, we're all nice people and we want the right things for children. But it's not seen as fundamental to teaching, and that's what I would argue that it is. And I can run through for you some of the things that we do with our trainees to sort of demonstrate to them how crucial it is, because it's experiential learning.
Okay.
So the key relational skills that we teach, which we have been developed by Trauma and Mental Health in Informed Schools UK, who we work with very closely in developing what we deliver to our trainee teachers. And that's around effect attunement. So before we can actually understand who we need to tune into what's happening for them and demonstrate through our expressions, through our body language, through the tone of our voice, that we see and hear how they're feeling. And the next thing is to validate those feelings. And particularly with children, there can be a tendency to not want to acknowledge the pain that they feel, because it's painful for us as well. But if we don't validate, we give the message that those emotions are not important. And I think that's very important for our students as well. You know, it's not to gloss over how challenging it can be to be in HE, and particularly to be on a trainee teacher course where you're often exposed and out on placement and in new and difficult situations. So it's that tuning in, validating, acknowledging those emotions and the validity of those emotions. And also conscious of thinking about how do we provide some containment for that? How do we make this feel safe and manageable? How do we break it down into manageable chunks? And so we're sort of working with our teachers about how they'll do that for children, but we do that by modelling what we do. So it's about being really clear about what's going to happen next, about timetables, even down to where you're going to be and who you're going to be with. So all those boundaries that make us feel safe are in place. And the final elements of empathy, displaying empathy, not sympathy, but empathy. And also calming and soothing. Sometimes it is about sitting down next to somebody and showing through all those skills that we can understand how that they're feeling. But sometimes, you know, it's through the tone of our voice that we offer that calming and soothing, or a hand on the shoulder, or just providing space to come out and talk. So those are the skills that we're wanting them to develop, and those are the skills we model through our everyday practice.
Okay. If someone is interested in finding out more about this whole field, what would you recommend they read or look at?
If you really want to come from the bottom up and understand, you know, how as human beings we develop and why relationship is so important to us, that it's our means of survival from birth, I would recommend reading What Every Parent Needs to Know by Margot Sutherland. I think that's just an entry level. That is a really clear way in, that demonstrates the importance of relationship, the importance of play and playfulness and social bonding, that they make us the human beings that we are. And those early relationships form the templates for relationships that we carry through life, really, until we learn other ones. So that's for good and for ill. And so how we relate to our students and perhaps provide different templates is crucial. If you want to get a bit more in depth about it, I think the work of Dan Hughes, he has a really nice acronym called PACE, which, if you want to set the emotional tone for learning, it's about being playful, accepting, curious and empathic.
Okay.
So I recommend him. And then if you really want to get into depth, the work of Professor Stephen Porges, American neuroscientist, and Panksepp, who's another neuroscientist, who shows, you know, that really relationships shape our brain architecture.
Right.
But that plasticity stays with us, you know, through life, and we can make changes. Change is hard, but we can make changes.
Right. Thank you very much. That sounds really interesting.